1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to just take this verse and just squeeze it real hard tonight. There's so many things here that's so good for us to hear. And Lord, I pray we're looking, of course, into the holiday season, but also beyond that, preparing our hearts for a new year. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, if you tarry, I'd love to be able to look back at 2015. If you were to tarry and we get to the end of it, I'd like to be able to look back and think maybe this was the greatest year ever at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so, Lord, may we have an understanding of what your word says when it comes to the subject of the work of the ministry. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we look at the words and the phrases that precede the phrase, the work of the Lord, we would find out that the Bible here gives us some good instruction and good encouragement. The word steadfast, very interesting word. It means to, let me just say this, to settle down. It literally comes from the idea of taking a seat or staking out a position or taking a stand. And so it has the idea of choosing your spot. And then the word unmovable means then to settle in, settle down and settle in. In other words, choose a seat and refuse to budge from that seat. And I think that in Christianity, that's what we need to do. You know, folks, listen, I don't want to get to the end of my life and be somebody that spent my life being blown around with every wind of doctrine. I think we ought to use the Word of God as the basis of our convictions, but I think we ought to establish some convictions, settle in on them, and just don't budge. Just refuse not to move off some things. Just be steadfast when it comes to our belief system, unmovable when it comes to our belief system. But then we see that right away comes this next phrase, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so the Lord just doesn't want us to sit down and settle in and wait for him to come. He wants us to be settled in what we believe and unmovable in what we believe. But then comes the phrase that gives us urgency and says, listen, you know what? While you are settled in your belief system, and while you refuse to move when it comes to that, when it comes to service of the Lord, you know what? Get busy. Always abound in the work of the Lord. And so every year as we look at a brand new year, what we want to do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is abound more. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. What a phrase. It means ever, daily, always, whenever, however, whoever, at every opportunity, superabound in excess, in excelling, be better, exceed, increase, go over and above and beyond in the work of the Lord. And that's a great encouragement to us. I don't sense at all from this verse that we as Christians have any reason to just kind of slide it into neutral and coast until Jesus comes and just wait for the Lord and, oh, well, you know what, we're not going to win this anyway and just give up, give in mentality. That's not what the Bible projects and encourages for the Church of Jesus Christ or for the individual Christian. I want to spend most of our time tonight just looking at the phrase, the work of the Lord, and making some observations about the work of the Lord. First of all, let me say this. The work of the Lord is first and foremost work. Now, let that sink in. The work of the Lord is first and foremost work. Isn't it interesting the way God uses the phrase here? The word work is found 69 times in the New Testament, and it's plural, the word works, 118 times in the New Testament. While Jesus was on earth, he was busy in the work, busy for his Father. John 4:34, Jesus says to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 5:17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John chapter 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Oh, what a statement to be able to say at the end of our lives that we finished the work that God has given us to do. If we go into the A book of Acts and on into the epistles, the Bible clearly identifies service to the Lord as work. As they ministered to the Lord, Acts 13:2, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." 1 Corinthians 16:10, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do." Ephesians 4:11, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the faith, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." James 1:25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let me tell you how you can clearly identify people that have fallen into the habit of just being hearers only, or people who are doers. Hearers only never work. Hearers only don't get involved. Hearers only just sit and listen. They don't ever roll up their sleeves and do anything for God. And the Bible says here that we ought to be warned against becoming a hearer only. In Matthew chapter 9, you know what? We see Jesus give this first and most important prayer request to his disciples. "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Folks, this whole idea that, you know what, the work of God is going to get done without people being willing to work is just a fallacy. Now let me just share my heart to you. I'm worried. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm worried. I'm going to lift up my voice like a trumpet for a moment. I'm going to challenge the next generation to be careful in this area of spiritual slothfulness. You know, you can be busy and busy and busy and busy and never, ever accomplish anything for the work of the Lord and the work of the ministry. Embrace the work ethic. Learn to sweat. Learn to toil. Learn to labor. It's not a curse. Labor is not a curse. It's a gift. If Satan can change the culture, can soil the fiber of the American character to the point where no one wants to do anything that requires sacrifice, requires self-denial, requires sweat, blood, and tears. If Satan can destroy our willingness to work, then he will destroy the work of the Lord, because the work of the Lord is work. So first of all, the work of the Lord is just that, work. But let me say also, because I think this is a fair balance and it needs to be said, when I think of the work of the Lord, I also think this. Yes, it's work. First and foremost, it's work. But the work of the Lord is also exciting. Yes, sir. It really is. I love to be involved in the work of the Lord. It's exciting. It's rewarding. And let me just use this word. It's addictive. Now, the world, it's hooked on drugs and hooked on debauchery and hooked on booze, hooked on technology. But nothing the world has to offer will give you a bigger high and more genuine satisfaction than being involved in the work of the Lord. We work very hard to get our young people at an early age just used to being involved in the work of the Lord. I don't want you ever to lose that, no matter what age you get to be. Long after you've graduated from a Christian school, you ought to still be busy serving the Lord and working for the Lord. I want some of you in 2015 to get a burden. And this is where you are in your Christian life. And certainly, you know what? If it's where you are, it's where you are. But some of you are here and you say, "Preacher, I've never won my first soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never won somebody to Christ." You know what you ought to do? You ought to work at that in 2015. You know what it takes to do that? Work. It takes work to do that. There's a harvest out there, and there's people that are lost and dying and going to one of these days die and go to a devil's hell if somebody doesn't have an influence on them. And so I want to just challenge. I remember when God began to work in my heart as a young man, and I'd never won somebody to Christ, and I began to become burdened about that and bothered about that. And you know what? If you're not burdened and bothered about that, then I'm burdened and bothered for you. Because we can't lose that importance. It's not just the preacher's responsibility. It's not the staff's responsibility. It's not the deacon's responsibility. Oh, well, we send our kids out there, and so that's good enough. No, every single one of us need to be involved in this great matter of winning people to Christ. So if you've never won a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that you'll set that as a goal. I hope you just say, "You know what, preacher, I'll tell you what. If you have soul winning training, then I'll be there. I want to learn how to do this. By the way, something might happen at the first of the year where we give you that opportunity and you ought to take advantage of it. You know, I wanted to win my first soul to Christ. I began to work at it, and I began to learn how to take the Bible and go through the Romans Road. And I began to practice at it, and I began to go out with people that were experienced soul winners and listen to them. Folks, listen to me. It's a process. I get it. But at some point, God will and can use you to change somebody's eternal destination. I don't know if there's anything closer to getting resaved yourself than being used by God to win somebody else to the Lord. And so maybe you've not won your first soul yet. I pray that you'll work towards that and get excited about that. You say, preacher, I've won a soul to Christ before, but it's been a long time. I hope you'll get energized about that. Folks, let me tell you something. It doesn't happen by accident. God gives fruit to those who are willing to get out into the harvest and work the harvest and work at winning people and work at witnessing, and God will help you in doing that. I hope that in 2015 you'll be open to new opportunities of service. I still remember the first time somebody came to me and offered me my first bus route. And can I say this, folks? What a privilege, what an honor. I remember being overwhelmed with the idea that somebody would think that they could trust me with the responsibility like that. I hate it when I see Christians get to the point where they look at an opportunity for service as something to run and hide away from instead of being awed by the fact that God might just use them. If you've lost that, and you've kind of worked it out in life where you just do the bare minimum, or you found something that really doesn't cost you any sacrifice and any time, and it doesn't really require you to pray and live clean and stay in your Bible, then I hope that you'll get involved at a bigger level and a deeper level when it comes to the things of God. We need laborers to work in the harvest. I remember when I became a youth pastor here, and before that, getting to pastor. And I remember the first time we planned this, and the first time that we planned that, and the first time we had a big youth evangelistic outreach. I mean, every step of it was exciting to me. And can I say this? I've been doing this for a lot of years, and it's still exciting to me. I still love Vacation Bible School. I do. I still love the opportunity to have youth evangelistic outreaches, and I love big days, and I love fall program, and I love spring program. I love soul winning. Listen, folks, is it work? Yes. Is it sometimes hard? Yes. Is it sometimes inconvenient? No, it's always inconvenient. Yes, it's worth it. If you were to say, preacher, after all these years of doing this and just being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in it, I mean, would you go back and hit a rewind button and live your life any other way? Not for every dime in this world, not for anything in this world. It's a thousand times, let me say this, it's worth it to spend your life serving the Lord in the work of the ministry. So the work of the Lord is first and foremost work, but it's exciting. It's a blessing. And let me say this also, the work of the Lord is eternal. And this is what I want to impress upon you tonight. The command of this scripture is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And again, folks, we can be very busy working. Preacher, you just don't know my schedule, you don't know my time. Listen, watch this. You got the same amount of time as I do. You got the same amount of time as everybody else in this room has. Everybody else has 168 hours in every week. Okay, if you've allowed your life to get filled up with a bunch of nonsense so that you don't have any time to serve the Lord, that's your fault. Yes, let me say it again. That's your fault. Yes, that's your choices. Don't tell me how busy you are. We're all given the same amount of time. Okay, it's not like God said, I'm only going to give this guy 143 hours. I'm going to give the preacher 218 hours, and now he's got time. No, every person makes choices about what they're going to do with their time. Oh, but preacher, I work. Oh, yeah, and you're the only one. You're the only person at Blessed Old Baptist Church that has a job. No, you know what? Guess what? A part of our responsibility and part of our commands in the Bible is, gentlemen, is to take care of our family, and that requires us working a job. I get it. But you know what? That should not be an excuse that's used not to be involved in the work of the ministry, doing things for the Lord. The commands of the scripture is this: be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Choose a seat, refuse to budge, refuse to quit serving the Lord, refuse to quit doing the work of the Lord. Of all the work you do, you should seek to be the most successful in the work of the Lord. No work that you do in this life is as important as the work you do for the Lord. The work of the Lord is eternal. Eternal. The songwriter penned these words: only one life, so soon it is past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will, so give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. When you recall, you have but one life. I think 1 Corinthians, I want to have you go over to it because I want you to see these scriptures. It's important that we look at it from time to time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11. Let me have you ponder these verses and look at them. And let them have an impact in our lives as we begin to look towards 2015 and what the Lord would have us to do in the work of the Lord, the work of the ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It's talking about judgment day. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I know people's got different ideas about this. I think this is talking about the judgment seat of Christ for the believers. We're not talking about the great white throne judgment here. And we talk about, you say, preacher, when it talks about fire, is that talking about eternal damnation? Is that referring to hell or the lake of fire? No. What it's saying is this, that you know what? All of the works that we have done in our life will be brought before the Lord and will be tested by fire. You know what? You say, what kind of fire will it be? Well, if you go to Revelation chapter number 1 and you see the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body, you'll see that his eyes were as a flame of fire. I think Jesus Christ will simply look at our life's work, and everything that is not eternal, everything that does not have eternal consequence, everything that was done selfishly, that was invested for things that are temporal and meaningless. You know what? You say, preacher, we need some things. I know. And one of these days, they're going to burn up with a fervent heat. I understand that some of our labor has to be for temporal things. But are we going to spend our entire life on that which is temporal only? And I believe God's Jesus Christ, our judge, the judge of the universe, will stare at our gifts. And you know what's going to happen? The Bible goes on to say, watch this. If any man's work abide, verse 14, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This isn't a judgment to see whether or not you're going to heaven or not. That was settled the day that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. But folks, watch this. Wood, hay, and stubble is earthly toil for temporal reward. And as Jesus often said to the Pharisees, ye have your reward. And there's some things that we work for, and we are rewarded for our work here on earth, and some of that is necessary. But if that's all we do, one of these days it's just going to burn up. And you know what, folks? I want, and I think in your heart, you want to one day stand before Christ and have something meaningful left. Meaningful. Gold, silver, precious stones. That's talking about that which is done for the Lord. Eternal toil for eternal dividends. I've held a number of different secular jobs in my life. And by the way, I'm not in any way holding secular work in disdain. I think what I'm going to say, I'll well qualify. I understand, man. You know what? It's a noble thing. It's a noble thing to work. I don't have much patience for laziness. I just be honest with you. Say, preacher, you ought to be a little more tender in that area. I'm not, and I'm not going to probably get more tender in that area. I'm not talking about people who cannot work. I'm talking about people who will not work. I just don't have much patience for it, you know. I hear a lot of people talking about, well, I can't. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that seem to can. You know, and I think, you know what you do? You need to stop. Watch this. I'm going to help some if you let me. You need to stop making excuses, and you need to get to work, okay? Get to work. If you don't work, then you know what? Your life's going to be pretty frustrating. I admit that, but that's not everybody else's problem. That's your problem. Get to work, okay? And so I'm not holding that in disdain. I mean, good night. I've been a carpenter's helper, a dock worker. I've driven a delivery truck. I've I've owned and worked a lawn care business. I've been a public school driver. I worked at a full service gas station. Anybody know what that is? A full service gas station. I mean, it's good. Not I in my lifetime, where you know they come out ding ding ding, and you run out there and pump their gas and do their windshield. I was that guy. I done that. All right. I've worked at a security guard. Can you imagine me loose in Chicago as a security guard? God help us. Public school bus driver. I mean, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life, just here and there. But you know what, folks? Watch this. That work was noble, and that work was right, because I was working to provide for my family. But can I just be very honest with you? The results were not eternal. True. Let me say that. The results are not eternal. You say, is all my secular work a waste of time? No, watch this. When you work, you can get eternal rewards by what you use the money for. And as you work, you can get eternal rewards if you see your workplace as a mission field and use your opportunities every day of your life to witness and try to win people to Christ. But you know what? There is going to be no trophy given to the guy that had the biggest lawn care business in Terre Haute, Indiana at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what? Whether I did or didn't have that, you know what? I'm not going to win anything for that. And I think we need to keep things in perspective. When it talks about the work of the Lord, it's talking about eternal work. Things that have an eternal difference, make an eternal difference. The time that you spend working in the work of the Lord, these reap eternal results and eternal dividends. Jesus, for 30 years, worked as a carpenter. Can I say something? I'm just making some observations. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus himself. Watch this. Every house he built is gone. Every cart he crafted is rotted away. Every bookshelf, if he made a bookshelf, he built has a long time ago turned to dust. Are you listening? But Jesus spent 3 years preaching the kingdom of heaven, and every soul he reached is still in heaven. Every life he changed, in turn, changed another, which in turn changed another. Every man he discipled went out to win and disciple others, and they in turn did the same. And the work of the Lord, the work that Jesus started, continues to this day. The work of the Lord, the work of his Father, was why he came to earth. God the Father sent him to do a job, and he gave himself to it. He set his face like a flint. He mounted an old rugged cross and suffered and bled and died, then cried out, "It is finished." He finished it, but that doesn't mean he was finished, because 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. Now watch this. I know the work that God sent us to do is not the same work that he sent his son to do. Only Jesus could have done that. But each of us can do something that continues what he started and continues to bring dividends to the kingdom of God. Now he says to us, the challenge, here it is, the work of the Lord, the work of the ministry. Now he says to us, he passes the baton to us. Jesus is no longer preaching and teaching. He's no longer down here doing good works. He's no longer trying to populate the kingdom of God. He says to each and every one of us, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And then this encouragement, "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I think everybody in here would agree that each and every one of us has done a certain amount of work, a certain amount of labor, that when it was all said and done, and when everything is said and done, the honest truth is it's going to end up equaling emptiness. There's just going to be no eternal value to it. But you know what? When we get before the Lord, every single minute that we spent serving God in some capacity is going to be eternally rewarded. So young people, I want you, about the time you hit 12, to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ in one important area of his life. And if you start a little early, I don't think anybody would be upset with you. But you know what? When Jesus went to Jerusalem with his parents, and then they lost him and couldn't find him. They thought he was with relatives, and they got out a couple days and he was missing. And then they came back and Mary was a little bit mad at him, you know, and chewing him out like a good mama probably ought to chew her son out every once in a while. And she was upset. I think she just kind of said what she said because she was scared. And when she found him, you know, hey, parents, have you ever done that? Where, you know what, you got worried because one of your kids is missing. And then you get scared, and then you start thinking of all the terrible things that might have happened to him, and then you eventually find him, and at that point, you're torn. Because there's a part of you that's so happy that you just found him, you want to hug him. There's another part, you just want to kill him, you know, because of all that they just put you through. And so I think that's where Mary was. But Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, He looked up at Mary and he said, "What? Know you not? I must be about my Father's business." And folks, listen to me. There's the world's business and there's the Father's business. There's the work of this world. Some of it's necessary. I get it. For temporal reward. All right, got it. But you know what? All that's going to burn up one of these days. There's the work of the world, and then there's the work of the Lord. And let me say this, folks. The work of the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. Bus captains, let me just encourage you for a minute. Preacher, I had one of those Sundays this morning, and maybe nobody did, but I had one of those Sundays this morning where I got done running my bus, and I did my visitation, and I prayed my prayers, and I worked hard. It was just one of those crazy mornings where it seems like everybody decided on the same Sunday to find some reason not to come. And you know what? I feel like I'm wasting my time. Look up here. You have a Bible promise that you did not waste your time today. I have Sundays where I see great dividends. I see results. I have Sundays where I've worked just as hard during the week and worked just as hard on messages. And you know what? I don't visibly see results, but I got a promise. I've got a promise that if I'm involved in the work of the Lord, it is not in vain. So that goes to Sunday school teachers. And that goes to everybody in any arena here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that's serving in some capacity in the work of the Lord. It is not in vain. Let me tell you what it is. Watch this and I'm done. It's gold. It's silver. It's precious stones. And one of these days, as you stand before the Lord, you're going to be glad when the judgment is done. And the eyes of the Lord has examined all. You're going to be glad that you spent time serving the Lord. And if there's any regret at that day, it's not going to be any regret for the time that you spent serving God. There's going to be only this regret. Why didn't I give him more? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. The work of the Lord, the work of the ministry. Heavenly Father, bless, Lord, this thought. May we take it with us this week. Lord, as we continue to and will throughout this month and then, of course, into January, lay the groundwork for 2015. As we get ready to, at some point, share the theme for the new year and some of the goals and some of the opportunities as we seek, Lord, to take, Lord, your work and your church and, Lord, do a more effective job and a better job and do more for you, Lord. We want to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. I pray, dear God, that you begin now the process of preparing each heart, Lord, to embrace the opportunities before them. We ask these things in Jesus' name.